back in the day, if you had, let's say, a 15-second car and you modded to 14s, that was a big jump for us back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, you go to 13 or 12, and you had to drive your car. It was a manual car, you know, and we didn't even have slicks, so we had street tires. And the tires weren't made of high-performance tires back then. So we had to learn to drive the car with bad tires, then learn how to, we had to get better tires, learn how to drive on those tires.
Yeah, I agree. This all came with the evolution of modifying and tuning Hondas, because we're talking late 90s to early 2000s. Most Hondas were running 16s, 17s, 15s, and then 9s was that untouchable number.
But you see the progress.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
They jumped straight into fast.
But needless to say, that's a big generalization, because Hondas are still racing today, but going to those races is very different today.
But most Honda races started off with something little and worked their way up.
Our guest, Ken from SNTRL. Brian ESR, we're here recording at the R2X Expo at the New York Auto Show inside the Jacob Javits. Got New York native with me, co-hosting today, Fast Guy Racing.
Well, go on.
And our guest, Ken from SNTRL Central, OG Media from based in New York, covering the New York scene. And Ken has been part of, you know, the auto, if not the import auto scene for how many decades now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, solidly, but two and a half decades. I mean, I sound kind of
old. Why you use the word decade?
And needless to say, he's got stories, because Central, during its time, how many years ago has it stopped?
Central stopped like around 2016. You know, officially, I walked away. So,
and then prior to that, how many years were you guys active for?
We were active for about 6 years.
And even before that, you were going to the street races, fully, you know, part of the New York street car culture. So saying, you know, you've been in the scene for over 25 years, I know you got some stories. So let's dive into it.
I've been really, I don't say involved, but I've been a fan of street racing, where I would go down and watch the races since the late 90s. So I used to go to Hunts Point in the late 90s. I used to go with my mom, Sable, you know, drive down there and watch the cars race.
Mercury,
yeah, Mercury Sable. Yeah.
Two-door, four-door?
No, four-door. It was a 1994.
Damn.
It was like those emerald hunter green. And it, you know,
the
I used to go down.
Emblems.
Man, you probably
interior.
Rolled up and they thought the cops was here.
Word.
I mean, I don't know what they thought, but I loved it. You know, people used to race me. I mean, I used to see crazy stuff. Once I started getting more heavily into Central, that's one of the reasons why I kind of stepped away from going to the races all night and just started focusing on Central. I still love the car scene. I still love cars. So my effort went from me going to the races and me hanging out with the racing, or me racing and just kind of focusing on the media side of things, which is what I also enjoy doing. So, it was we're 2023, probably 10 years ago, give or take, you know.
I'm going to pass it to you, Fast Guy. What's the craziest thing, crazy experience at a street race?
Start with these chairs.
What?
Because y'all got me sitting up like we're in a lawyer's office, bro. Let me get comfortable.
That's what's happening, chairs. Bro. That's what's happening.
We good now. Now I'm in my element.
All right, talk about it.
You know what I'm saying? Crazy shit with me with a street race?
New York street race.
I think every night was crazy.
Give me the craziest.
I took a chase once from a cop. And I was in fear for my life because that shit was stuck in one gear. You know what that's like?
Where was this and what car were you in?
I had an all-motor Civic EK hatch.
Where?
This is in Queens. Oh, we can talk about it now. You can't come back and get me now.
Nah.
But we was on Nassau Expressway. You know, at the end of Nassau, there's a turnoff. And as I turned off, you know, there's 1,000 cars coming up Nassau. I'm already basically out of return road. And I'm coming down the return road. And it's like, oh, shit, this shit's stuck in one gear. One, two, it's only going in third. But I'm looking at the cop coming up, and I'm like, no, this cop ain't going to make it to me. I'm already on the other side. This motherfucker comes around, looking at him in my mirror now. He's no longer behind us. He's on the shoulder coming quick. I'm like, oh, shit. Y'all got on one highway, and you know what that's like in one gear? Fucking slicks.
What gear was it stuck in?
Third gear. This shit's bouncing up and down off the fucking slicks.
Oh, you was all slicks too?
Dude, I threw the car in somebody's driveway. Unplugged the ECU and just started walking fast. I left that shit right there. I had my friends pick me up in the gas station. We hung out there for a little bit. Like, yo, we got to go get the car. We went back. Car was still there. Plugged the ECU back in. Drove that shit home. Never street raced again. Last night. Last time.
Never street raced ever again.
I've spectated. You know, I've saw all the wild shit.
Wait, that was the last time you raced?
Street race?
Yeah. Wait, is that what you just said? That was the last time?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Scared the shit
and
out of
me. That was probably like maybe 2010?
Has it been that long? I felt like I'm getting old.
Nah, you ain't see me there no more because you can't catch me on a street race no more. I hate that shit.
You don't even like going to watch no more.
I don't want
to
watch. I don't even watch the video. I only watch it if it comes up on my Instagram. I'm not clicking the YouTube link to go watch the whole thing. Show me the snippet.
Why?
Because it's just overrated now. It's overcrowded. And nobody's there for street racing. Everybody's there to watch two cars race. No one really. Yo, I done seen kids there. Women and their kids, pregnant women. It's just like, what y'all doing here? Go home. Yeah. You know we had cars. We all had cars. Everybody had a car. And tonight, these two cars were racing. But if this big race, back in the days, a lot of racing used to go down at Greenpoint. You'd be in the back of Greenpoint all night, and that used to escalate into two cars going over here and racing for money. But it used to be nice because two cars would race, take the slicks back off, and then everybody would go back to another spot and just continue racing each other all night. How many times when was the last time you seen a street race where people just pulling up and racing? Pulling up and racing. Don't do that no more.
That's what I was going to say. Back in the 2000s, when I was going to the street races as a spectator, you would watch dozens, if not a lot of races back to back. 1,000
cars back to back.
Everyone's in line and you're racing whatever's next to you. And if there are a couple money runs, they do pop out. But that was a good night out, street racing. Like when we were actively going out.
Yes.
Everyone we rolled out with was racing.
So that was something to talk about. You know what I'm saying? Yo, last night was crazy. We was racing all night. But now
you'll be lucky if you even catch one run because
where it faded for me was I had a stock single cam and a Civic. And I didn't care who was next to me. I was trying my best. I was making stupid modifications that didn't make sense. I just thought it was going to work. Still went out there on my ass strap until I finally found some money to buy a turbo with no tune. It kind of worked, but it did its job. And I was winning races. And then that motivated me to actually get somebody to tune the car and actually build a motor. And you know what I'm saying? Actually do things. So you progress from here to there. Today's races, somebody about to get upset at me for this shit. All these young kids who just go to a dealer and buy a fast car ready. No one started with a single cam or an LS. Yeah. An LS was fast.
Yep.
Nobody started there. Today's kids didn't start there.
That's a big generalization.
No. Think about it.
That's not everybody.
What do you think?
95% of the people out there racing, they will never understand what it means. I mean, no disrespect to the fast people, but when we used to drive our cars, we had to drive our cars. We had to build our cars. We had to drive our cars. You know, there was a level of like challenge, not just for like the person next to you, but I think it was the challenge to just drive your car and build your car.
Drive it. Don't miss a gear. Get in every
gear.
That was
the beauty of street racing.
It's like Fast and Furious. No bullshit. The first Fast and Furious where they were side by side and they was, you know what I'm saying? Tonight you might win like this. Tomorrow you might win like this. Tomorrow you might lose like this. Yeah. It was a race, right?
It was a race, yeah.
But today,
we're talking about specifically Honda street racing in the early 2000s, right?
Yes.
But
let's compare it to today. Today, you can go, because we all came from that portion of racing all night, side by side, no money, just genuine hands up, hands down racing, right? Compare that to today. You don't get that no more. You don't get that hands up, hands down racing, right? Everybody's racing off a light. Now, most of the cars you see getting raced today, some of them are built, yes. Most of them are bought out of a dealer.
But you're talking more like specifically like Mopars.
Mopars, Oh, why do you think them Hellcats in charges is running into every building they see? Damn. Those kids don't know what that is. They just thinking if you smash the gas and spin the tire and rah, and it makes 700 horsepower, it's drivable. It's not. So we've started from 110 horsepower to 300 to 500 to 600 to 1,000. I'm saying we know. All right. Answer this. What's the most highest horsepower car you've driven?
Me? 600 horse.
600.
Yeah.
And you knew at some point, when you at your full 600 horsepower potential, you know when to let off.
100%, yeah.
These kids don't know that. They're getting hit with 800 horsepower out of the dealer with a red key right away.
No, I agree.
And driving straight into a school bus.
Back in the day, if you had, let's say, a 15-second car and you mod it to 14s, that was a big jump for us back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, you go to 13 or 12 and you had to drive your car. It was a manual car, you know, and we didn't even have slicks, so we had street tires. And the tires weren't made of high-performance tires back then. So we had to learn to drive the car with bad tires, then learn how to, we had to get better tires, learn how to drive on those tires.
Yeah, I agree. This all came with the evolution of modifying and tuning Hondas, because we're talking late 90s to early 2000s, that progression of 16s, the average, like most Hondas were running 16s, 17s, 15s, and then 9s was that untouchable number.
But you see the progress.
Right. Yeah,
today,
I see what you're saying.
They jump straight
saying.
Into fast.
But needless to say, that's a big generalization because Hondas are still racing today. But going
and
to those
faster.
Races is very different.
But most
today.
Honda races started off with something little and worked their way up. They didn't go in the dealer and buy some 1,600 horsepower all-wheel drive car.
Yeah, that's it. We're talking about... Right, if you get in a Mopar or something.
Oh, God, and I know what this is going to turn into. I got a race car. Your car's faster than mine's. Shut the fuck up, Cedric. Race me, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my God. And I know I'm going to get all kind of shit for talking. I don't care. But this is the difference with me. I don't give a fuck about none of those cars.
Well,
because
your car runs eights.
I got an 8.0 car.
Right.
That got seven-second cars fast. But I'll still race those cars. This is what it is. It's racing, right?
Because your car runs 8 seconds. And of course you run anybody.
If you took your seven-second
car, build an 8-second car now,
the Beamers, the Chargers, I don't give a fuck about those things.
Yeah.
And sat it next to me, I'm going to race it.
Of course, because your car is 8 seconds.
I have a fast car.
Right, so you talk your talk then.
I just did.
Okay, you're right.
I don't have a street car, no.
You're right.
But I have a car that races. A race car. Like, that's another thing today, too. Everyone has a race car that they like to call as a street car. Yeah. How many times a day you hear that? Oh, I got a street car. My windows roll up and down. So if I made my windows go up and down, I got a street car, too? Yeah. Fuck is this, bro? Today, I mean, let me not sound old. But all of this shit right here is a turn off. I'd rather go to sleep. I'd rather go home and watch Law and Order.
Yeah. I hear you.
I love Law and Order and Chicago PD. That's my shit. But... Yo, it's not the same. Back in the days, I was outside. Man. We were sitting outside all night looking for races. And we had to look on B20. Where they at? We used to drive around to every meet spot on Friday.
Yo, Ken, what races did you used to go to back then?
So, it's funny you touched on being out all night. My schedule was, I could pretty much remember it. So, like, Wednesdays, Sundays and Wednesdays, I was at Car Club in Nanuet looking for runs. Thursday nights was Yonkers. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we go to the Point, you know, Bronx, Zariga, Commerce, Flatlands, Greenpoint, depending where, like, whoever said, yo, we're going to go ahead over here, we go over there, Avenue P.
Yeah, he's like a weekend warrior without the cocaine.
So we used to, that was like, I used to work overnights, right? I was a day trader at one time. So when I used to go to the races, I would come home from the races, and my whole intention was to trade when I got home. So, you know, I was a currency trader. I was a stock trader, and I became a currency trader one time. I kind of did it to model it after my time frame for racing.
Because
it
was fit working at street races.
Yeah. So I come home, and I just get into working. That was.
I think the adrenaline from the street races worked for his schedule. He's like, now I'm awake.
Just long as
let me go make some money.
Just as long as it was a good night. Because if you went home, and you lost a run, and you lost some money, or you're broke, it wasn't always a good run.
But you had fun.
It was the best ever.
What were you racing back then?
So my first car was a 99 SI, got stolen. We spoke about that off camera earlier.
What color?
What
color?
Electron Blue Pearl.
So the irony of it is my brother had a 99 stolen. Electron Blue Pearl, and his also got
stolen.
Every
blue SI in America got stolen. If your shit never got stolen, it mentally got stolen. They all got stolen.
They all got stolen, all at some point, yeah. I feel
every
like.
Every one of them. Yeah. And they gave them back to another owner.
So my car, I actually got a report one time that they found it in some country in South America.
Oh, what?
The VIN number, like the
chassis. Another country?
Yeah.
Dominican
so
Republic.
My car had a low jack. They stole it from...
Oh, man, he said, where was it?
Huh?
Where was it?
Oh, South America.
South America.
Is DR South of America?
Yeah, so what happened was they stole my car, right? And I had a low jack. It was at the Palisades Mall. And I still remember the day, everything. I was actually buying a shirt for the Filipino Day Parade.
They took it at the mall?
Yeah, they took it at the mall. I was in there for 45 minutes. Walked out. My car was gone. Called the police, state trooper, said they activated low jack.
I'm going to just shake my head at you. What you doing driving that? Leaving the SI parked at the mall.
So I parked it.
Man, that was a job, wasn't it?
I don't know. No. Definitely wasn't a job. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
You got an SI, you parked it at the mall for 30 minutes. That was a job, bro.
You know, it's funny. It wasn't a job.
You was asking for it.
But that car, I was pretty disappointed because... the car wasn't that fast, you know? It is what it is.
Volt stock, it runs 15.
Yeah, it was 15s. I had, Crown Vicks that I would pull, maybe half a car on the highway. I was pretty disappointed.
That was your shit.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be slow as hell. It could be the slowest car in the world.
But
the thing is,
I like winning, though. So,
after what was next?
So, it was either a DSM or it had to be Boost. So, I went with it's going to sound funny, but a Volkswagen, a 1.8 turbo GTI. 2000. I mean, back then...
Volkswagens ain't bad. Them shits is all right.
So back then, it was 2000. You do a tune, full turbo, full exhaust and an intake. I was doing 14.3 at 97. So, I mean, back then, against Hondas, it was pretty quick. You know, any Hondas.
So that's what you were bringing to the races?
Yeah. So I was racing that from 2000 until 2003 when I got my Evo. So, and then from the Evos, I used to race... everywhere with the Evo, you know. I mean, to be honest with you, not to sound cocky, but I rarely lost an Evo. I mean, I'm sure people hopefully will one day vouch for me if they see this video. Nah, that was my shit, man.
I ain't gonna say
The Evo back then is all-wheel drive. It was new on the street. You do bolt-ons on a 4G63 and you were doing 12s. So, you know, most people weren't doing 12s unless you were one of the big boys.
12-second street car? What year was this?
It was 2003.
They got 9 second, 8 second street cars. Nah, this shit gets
scary. Now it's a different. Now you got stock, electric
stock
cars doing 11s.
They unlocked some cheat code the other day, and fucking things are going 7s.
Yeah. Which car?
All of them.
No. Well,
they go to BMW right now. Yeah, the window sticker says 7 second car.
No.
I'm telling you,
bro. Cat.
No, they do.
Cat.
How many 7 second cars there is?
Not sevens, bruh. But I would say there's
those Beamers are going 7.
Seven.
Wait, it might be 8.
Nah, but
how much I pay attention.
They got the Sapphire, though.
Seven?
If I look right now, this is 7. There's no 7 second Beamers? Maybe the Supras. It's the same thing.
They do 9s. They do 9s on both.
No, what? The Beamers?
Yeah.
Was it 8 second cars now? Low 8.
Yeah, but you got to go, you got to spend money to go 8s.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah. You do.
But bolt ons, I think you bolt on, you bolt on like a turbo.
Race car
stuff.
Money on a Beamer. You see, this is shit they be hiding. They make it seem got a BMW that just went 7s. Motherfucker, tell me how much money you spent in parts to get it to go that fast.
That makes sense.
It ain't no buy a Beamer and put a tune in it and go 7. No. These are killers, bro.
Yeah.
Fucking things are leaving V8s. I don't know what's in them.
Yo, Ken, you brought it up earlier of how street racing made you who you are today. Why is that?
Because, street racing taught me about what it means to, focus and what it means to... Well, it taught me a lot of things, actually. So a lot of my friendships that I've been able to build over the years... Don't get me wrong, I had really close friends before street racing. But, when you go to the races and you go with the same group of people over and over again, and you're put in situations where, one, they support you. Number two, they have your back, you know... That's one thing that kind of taught me about what a real friend could be. It's kind of weird. These are the people that go to war with you, and you guys know who you are out there. There's people out there that to this day, they became my brothers, you know, just because I might have met them because of cars and we maybe live locally, and next thing you know, we were going to the races for years together, and these are the people that have my back. I mean, there's literally people that have my back. You know, I had one guy that tried to punch me one time, blindsided. And, yo, my boy Omar.
Got beat up, right?
My boy, well, I didn't even see it coming. And my boy Omar, I turned around.
I mean,
and I see, oh, yeah, my boy Omar had my back. And it was on Conner Street in the Bronx. And I'll never forget
McDonald's.
It. And to this day, you know, me and Omar, we talk a lot of trash. But he knows that, you know, things like that. Like, I just, but besides that, you know, when you race, and you might know this from street racing, you know, it takes a certain level of, like, mental focus. And, like, when you experience, all right, so some people race and they lose all the time, right? Like, I don't know your experience. I guess it might be different for some people. Not for you guys, but, like, for others. But, like, I experienced a certain level where I felt like I knew what it was like to win. And I liked the way it felt to win. And I felt like I could turn it on in my mind to be able to focus on what I needed to do to try to win. So even though I didn't always win, I knew where I had to mentally be to focus to win. And now I could kind of transition that to the rest of my life.
Shit, you're a better person. I lose a lot.
I like that outtake. So
well, okay. So I
like that outlook, though. Yeah, Fasca, how do you connect to, why do you like racing?
I don't know. I came from a family of cars. Not race cars, but
car people.
Yeah, everybody in my family was a mechanic. My dad's uncles.
Doesn't mean you
gotta
like cars, though. So why do you like
my dad
racing?
Had me everywhere. He strung me along like a dog with him everywhere he went. I was a kid around nothing but grown men. My father had me around grown men all my life.
But what is it about racing that you, why do you do it?
It was
why you spend so much money?
It was the need for speed at that time that got me into racing. You know what I'm saying? Sitting in the backseat of my uncle had a Starion, the Conquest TSI. We used to flying in that shit. No fucking car seats back then.
How old were you back then?
Probably like 6. Back there holding on for dear life. But I was hyped. And my pop's friend had an RX-7. He used to let my pops hold that shit, the first gen. My pops used to slide around every corner with that shit. And I used to be in the backseat again, holding
so
on.
So you were just a kid waiting to get in the driver's seat.
And then one day, you know, they didn't care that the kid was back there. I mean, you can't, ACS can't come and take me from my family now. I could talk this shit. You know what I'm saying? They used to be flying with me in the backseat. And I used to be back there like faster. Like on a horse, faster.
You got addicted.
Yeah, and then when I got older, of course, my dad goes and buys me a Civic. And me being me,
wanted to make
little,
it faster.
I had all the cheesy shit on my car, but then you know I molded it out of that, and then I was started looking for speed. It went from dress up shit to how can I make this thing faster? I raced my cousin, single cam. He had an LS. LS strapped my shit. Ever since that day, I was like, nah. I need more. We put a V16 motor in a VTEC, skipped the LS shit, and we went straight to fast right away. It wasn't fast, but we from there on out, it wasn't. And I used to tell people this all the time. You got to hurry up and race me now because I'm not going to go slower. I'm going to do whatever I got to do to keep going faster. And it just kept happening like that. I probably own the fastest front-wheel drive car out of Brooklyn.
So, maybe. Like, as of today... Why do you
do own the fastest?
Why do you race?
Because I like it. I mean, and I got so much invested in it already. It's like a marriage. Like, why are you married? Like, why do you have a race car? It's so much money involved. It's like, where's it going to go? What I'm going to do, just one day park it to the side. But then I'm going to watch everything happening around me. And I'm going to be like, damn, I should have been a part of that. So pack this shit up. We're going racing. We got to do what we got to do to get out there.
Ken, I'm gonna throw this one to you. So, Ken, you got a nickname, Ken the Racing Realtor. We'll get into that part, but why does Ken race today? Because you do a different type of racing now. You do road course racing.
I felt like I retired from street racing. I retired from drag racing. And then when I did stop doing that, I still love to race.
But why?
I just, you know, I tell everyone, I felt like if I was a kid that had an opportunity to go go-kart racing when I was a kid, in my mind, I felt like I could be the greatest driver ever. So whenever I go to the track, my mindset is that I'm the best I could possibly, you know, like, I feel like I could be the best version of myself when I'm behind the wheel. And if that means being good at whatever I do, then yeah, but like, it's my passion. I love it, you know, and it's the same reason that, you know, you, not to equate myself to like athletes, but like an athlete that goes out there and no matter how what level of they play, you ask them, and they always think that they're the best at what they do. That's the way I feel about driving. Like, I always feel like I'm the best at that moment, you know, no matter who's around. So I just enjoy
it. It just gives you that high.
It gives me the high. I feel like that's when the best comes out of me. I don't know. I just love to drive. I love cars.
So we spoke about street race, used to drag race. Now you do road course racing in your Evo or your Civic Type R.
Yeah, well, the Evo, and Evo's a little bit, she's sleeping right now, but I do it in the Civic Type R. Yeah.
So I want to get on the road course track. Fast Guy is a drag racer.
I was road racing coming here.
So your transition onto the road course as a former drag racer, talk about it.
So
what's better? Here's a better question.
Okay,
what's better, drag racing or road course racing?
I think drag racing, I will always appreciate. I think it's a different type of competition, different type of mindset. You see, like road racing, when you go to the road racing, people aren't really competing with you. You know, they are, but they're not. Like, they're out there. They're like, be your friend. Everyone wants to be friends. Everyone wants to, like, you know, support each other, which is cool. But when you drag race, it's your crew versus someone else's crew. You guys can be friends, but you know who the crew is. You know who the drivers are. You know what the cars are. It's like a different type of environment, which is cool. Whereas, like, road racing, yeah, we like your car. Like, look, my Civic Type R, it has aero. It has tires and wheels. Stock power. And, like, the beautiful thing about me driving on the road course is I feel like I can be the best driver. Whereas with street racing, especially like what we spoke about, you can't drag race or street race anymore against these guys that buy a car that runs 10s. And all they did was put a tune in the car and an exhaust or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? I can't take my Evo out there, turn it into a drag racing car unless I spend X amount of dollars with a full build. Like, it's just not the same. So with road racing, I could put my Civic Type R on a road course and I'm right behind Porsche GC3s because the driver might not be as good, you know? So to me, I just like that level of investing in my driving skill rather than just depending on a machine by itself. I don't know if that makes sense.
I think drag racing takes some kind of skill.
Oh, 100%. No, I'm not taking away from that at all.
Drag racing is like a start and finish. So you got to start with a staging strategy. Either you stage first, stage last. You could have a staging duel. You could sit there. But mentally, you got to get in there. Yeah. Where when those lights come on, if you see green and that car moved already, you already lost. That's how you got to look at it. So you got to go in there ready to cut a light. You got to go in there ready to hit every shift point. Yo, you got to do all of this within a certain amount of seconds, at the same time trying to control a 1,500 horsepower plus car. Imagine John Force and these guys, 300 mile an hour. That's it, yeah. Well, then again, technology helps because all they do is just dump a clutch and these cars drive themselves. We have to sit there, watch a shift light, hit it on point, not bang on the limiter, keep the car straight, and then pull a parachute and slow the car down.
What do you think is more fun, Cam, because you've done it both, drag racing or road course racing?
So what Fast Guy described is 100% fun because there's all these different aspects that you have to take into account. So I love both. Like talking to you guys makes me feel like maybe I should buy a car and just build it for drag racing.
No, run. Don't come over here. Too much money.
No, I wouldn't do it because I'm trying to run eights and beat, like, you know, 8-second cars, but I would do it just to be able to, you know, like, I don't need to go and be the fastest thing in drag racing.
Say that but now. You said that's how also we all started, the reason you know? Why you said you stopped drag racing.
Well, I stopped drag racing. So I stopped drag racing because I got tired of going out every night.
You see, you said it's like a high, right?
Well, okay.
It really is a high. Oh, because once
we're talking
go,
two different things. We're talking drag racing on the track versus street
racing.
Well,
drag racing is a high because you constantly chase the drug. The drug doesn't get you high anymore. You want more.
All right.
So you want a 10-second car. This shit goes 9 by accident. It's over.
No, I know. I get it.
You're
I
like,
mean, 100%.
Oh, shit. We wasn't expecting more. That. Give me more. I just want. Yo, I've never met a person that didn't set a number on a car. I got a friend of mine. We just built a crazy all-wheel drive car for him. know what he tells me? Oh, I don't want to go 950 with this thing and I'll be happy. Motherfucker, this shit's probably going to go a 7 one day. What are you talking about? Yeah? Yeah, right. Expectations went from here to... It telling you, you always want more. You always want more. I'm happy with a consistent car, but if I could get the more, that's all we're starting to chase after one point. Like, it's not even about being competitive anymore. It's about how fast you can go. And everybody's on the same type of time. Everybody wants to light the scoreboard up and have a crazy number up there. But it's like, it's becoming expensive.
Thing is, you could get that too with road racing.
I ain't tried that yet.
You got to try one day.
I did already.
Yeah.
What you mean? You could get that.
So like, you know.
Addiction?
Oh, 100%. So like, for example,
on the turnpike once.
You know, you no, it's yeah.
Depends like on what music the road course, is playing.
It's time too. So, you know, if you know that all the fast guys or the fast setups are going, like, let's say sub minute at Lime Rock, right? And you go and I go out there and I'm doing a 101. My mindset is I got to go figure out how to go one, you know, 1 minute flat. And the minute you do it, and you see the cars that are out there doing sub-minute, and you see how I did it with less, I get the same high. You know, I get the same type of, like thing. And the thing with a road course, at least with me, I got tired of going to, like, English Town, and my boy takes out his Turbo Civic now because we got to go and unload it and set it up. And then
it's always like that, though. You get tired. You get tired into something else, and it's always road racing right after.
But the thing is...
And they always enjoy themselves. I never met a person that did not like road racing.
So, like, road racing, I take my car up there. I throw my tires inside my car. I drive up. I got my tools and tires. I set up. Boom. I throw, you know, swap tires at the end of the day. I go home.
Well, it sounds like you're comparing it to, like, a bracket car or something. Because, like Fast Guy said, you could go to the dealership right now, get a 10-second car, and you don't need to put it on slicks.
But you
could
buy a car out of a dealer, road race ready, like with those M3s,
those
GADs,
Civic. So it really depends, I believe, on the amount of modifications that you do to the car, which now changes your track day experience. Because, like you just said, you found it inconvenient if you had to trailer the car, this, and this, versus a car that you just literally you pull up in and hit the course, and then you could drive back home in it, right? But the same could be said for a bracket racing car. You could leave a car bone stock and...
No.
It depends on what type of
if that car drops apart right there at that starting line, which that may potentially happen, you better call a tow truck.
But we could buy a factory car that runs 10s, if not 9s,
without
and
doubt. Yeah,
have a full day at the drag strip and still drive home and do it every weekend.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, I'll say this. I'm not trying to say one is better than the other. I think they're both dope. I love both. I think they both require some type of...
So you're trying to say Fast Guy needs to get on the road course?
I think you should give it a try.
See, I'm the guy.
You want to come out with me?
Why not?
I'm going to take the CRX out. What you going to get? You got to get something. Type R?
A fucking caravan.
Yo, just tires, brakes. Tires, brakes, and you're driving.
You see, I'm not against it.
Should give it a try.
Yo, Ken, what's the best tire to road course in?
Depends. So, like, if you're doing, like, a 200 tread wear, which is, like, you know, a streetable, like, high-performance tire, RE71 RSs are my favorite because they're fairly predictable. But I went fastest with the Nankang CRS, the new one.
Nankang?
Yeah, so they got the thing called the CR-S. It's
Nankang?
The 2023. It's pretty fast.
Nankang was like a... Like the Walmart of tires.
Nah,
like trust the 99 cent store.
I know, but if you Google them, they came out with this one tire. They redid it for 2023, and it's a pretty good tire. But
are you saying that just because it's best bang for the buck, or is
it
just
it was
a
actually
good
the
tire?
Most, it was more money than the Bridgestones.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
As a matter of fact, I heard that they were actually, I don't know if they're banned right now, but they definitely stopped importing them for whatever reason for like in the past 2 weeks.
Nankangs are more expensive than Bridgestone?
Yeah, for the CRS. So it's called the CR-S. It's
well, I can't see a Nankang and be like, those is fire.
Yeah, I also went the fastest
time. Well, he just said they're fire.
That one.
It's like,
And that's a tire that you could drive in with and drive home?
I had it on the Type R on my CEs all throughout the winter. I mean, it wasn't smart, but I've been driving with it on the street.
Wow.
What?
Who would have ever thought?
I mean, and then Nankang. There's all the tires too, like, you know, the AO52s, you know, the other high performance tires that you hear about out there, the Falcon, the Zini, 660s. Like
what's the worst tire to road course racing?
I don't have personal experience, but everyone tells me don't get the 888s, the R888s.
The Toyos?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I personally don't have any experience, but that's what everyone tells me.
Note to self.
I put R888s on everything. For no reason. I just like
the name is everywhere. You know, I like Toyos as a tire overall, but road course wise, I don't know like what tire I could get from them that people would recommend. But I know the RE71s are really good, and the CRS I went fastest with.
You obviously road course race the Type R. You did the Evo too?
Yeah.
So you've raced a couple different cars. What platform, in your opinion, is the best car to, you know, start road course racing with?
Platform, if you want something that you're going to track, because you can really track anything. I mean, you could track. I've seen
what,
guys.
What do you think is the best?
The best. I'm going to sound biased because I got a Type R. But, like, you know, the new, it depends on your budget, too. But if you're, like, a budget guy just looking to get a nice car, not break the bank, the Type R is a little bit more on the expensive side. You know, some people might disagree with me, but you could get like a Hyundai Elantra N, the new one.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Yo, he be throwing out the names here.
Yeah, so
I thought,
like,
you were going to say a Porsche.
No, but the Porsche is dope, but it's like, it's a higher budget. If you got the money for it, it's definitely good. But like, let's say you're going for like a budget car that you're not really afraid.
Hyundai Elantra.
Like, yeah, the new one is not bad for the money.
You see those on the road course?
Yeah.
Yo, hold on. Let me process this. So, you go to the dealer, buy a Hyundai Elantra, the little R emblem on the back.
The N. Yeah.
That shit got the N button on the screen fake nitrous. You ever seen that?
No.
You hit it and it goes,
does it really?
It doesn't like make that noise, but shift, you go fast.
Is it something like that?
Like a boost button.
Yeah. Gives you like an extra boost.
No Trinidad.
I don't know nothing about the Hyundai. So
me neither. I saw
is that the Type R of
that's
the
competitive
Elantra?
Type R, yeah. I'm only thinking bang for the budget because this Type R, you know, they got the markups right now. Sticker price is $45,000. I think you could get like a Hyundai for like $40,000, $39,000, $38,000, something like that.
A fucking Hyundai?
I mean, it's not. I think it's a little bit ugly. I think it's very ugly, actually. But
I get it. All right. Hold on. Straight face. Let's be serious. Right? I get it. It's a budget car. It's a car that is cheap.
It ain't really that cheap for 40 grand.
True, but you could go buy that car and go drive it. And it's a fucking Hyundai. A Hyundai, not a Honda.
I know.
Hyundai, Elantra. When you're done driving that shit home, I'm going to think you're somebody's sister going home from work. I would never think you just left a road course trimming motherfuckers.
So you want to hear something funny? So I don't know if you guys ever heard of him before, but like from back in the day, but I had a friend. His name was Mark.
Right? Juan?
Yeah. I don't know if I can say this, but white boy Mark.
Oh, that's fine.
He used to go to Hunts Point, and he used to go, like, back in the day with his S4. So he had...
S4?
Time, yeah, it was the world's
He's
fastest.
He's from up by you?
Yeah.
The kid?
It was blue.
Yo, let me tell you about that car. One night, we were supposed to race that car on the hutch with something. And he came with that car. I said, get this shit the fuck out of here. Yo, there was nothing in it. Brian, no joke, bro. It was the driver, a seat, and a steering
That's
wheel.
It. Oh,
and
you
a
gutted
fucking
it.
Ass. Yeah. There was nothing else. Yo, when I say you looked in there, it was like there was, it looked black. It looked like a fucking deep, dark hole, bro. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is this? Yo, that shit was nothing to play with. That was your friend?
Yeah, that's my boy.
Dude, where is he now? He had a GTR last I heard.
He has a GTR. Well, I don't know if he still got it, but the reason I brought him up is he makes YouTube videos. I forgot his channel. In his Hyundai Elantra and in Cali, chasing after people in the mountain, and then he'll like go.
He'd be
chasing.
Smoking them.
Yeah, he'd be smoking them on the mountain, and he puts the videos on YouTube.
Whoa.
Yo.
Yeah.
He goes and buys a fucking gutted out Hyundai Elantra.
Yo, this is a commercial for Hyundai. Mad people researching this Elantra N right now because they want to hit that N button. Right?
I saw it.
The green N button.
Yo, son.
Hyundai, send us some money for this commercial.
Fucking Hyundai.
Nankang, send us some money for this commercial.
Nankang or Hyundai.
Nankang's
on
a Hyundai.
Throw the Nankang's on the Hyundai. Smoke everybody.
I don't give a fuck.
I kind of sold myself.
If that
I
was my last option,
one.
I'm not driving no Hyundai, no track. I'm not
don't
doing
me,
that shit.
Listen,
I can't even front though. Did you see that new Hyundai electric car that kind of looks like a like the Back to the Future DeLorean type
deal?
Yeah,
dude, yeah, they almost crashed. Like,
oh, they got it here?
Yeah, you see some shit?
No, they ain't got that one here. Spinning, the one that looks like the... Nah, the one that looks like the DeLorean.
I was standing
up. All right, that one's kind of fire.
I ain't seen no DeLorean.
If it's here, I got to go see
no,
it.
No, that one's kind of fire. I don't think they have it here at the show.
High upstairs. High upstairs.
I mean,
fucking Honda. I'm not buying a Hyundai.
Well, because you a Honda guy. There's
I wouldn't even buy a Honda. I don't even know what to buy.
Get the Type R.
No, I'll go buy a BMW. Bro.
BMW's always
well,
nice,
you're talking man. Different money grades yeah. here. I mean, the Type R is in the 40s. Now you get into the BMW. The M3s are in the 70s, 80s. Yeah. I mean, like not you said, there's Hyundai. Levels to this.
Tell you that.
I was just going by budget. Like, you know, if you go higher, there's obviously a lot better. Like the M2 is nice. The M3 is obviously nice. M4, you know, and they have cars that are designed so that you could go to a road course and like off the box, they're already good.
But like those Hyundais are designed for that? Like they're meant to be raced like that? I just learned something
you
today.
You got me fucked up with this Hyundai shit.
Yeah, just as long as it's the N. The Hyundai, like any N version, I think it's from like the Nürburgring, but it's called the N.
I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
I gotta
now
see
I'm not even playing with those cars on the highway because one of those fast. Things fucked me up. I'm never telling nobody that story. I'm not I hope I don't end up on that person's Instagram. Yo, just trim the fast guy. Come on, bro.
You already know if you see that Hyundai with that 360 camera on top, you're gonna end up on his TikTok.
Especially
tonight.
If you got Nankangs on it.
That's mad funny.
What's your favorite road course track?
I went to Watkins. Last November, it rained, but like that's been my favorite so far.
You guys race in the rain too?
Nah, it was it's not fun, obviously, but sometimes
they do though, right?
They do, yeah. I was on track.
Oh.
I was on track. It's just that, you know, you got to be careful. So you're still on track. You're still racing. They're still timing you. You're still out there with other cars, but
you got to be confident in your tires.
Confident in your tires, and you also got to obviously take it a lot easier.
So hydroplaning still plays effect.
Yeah, 100%.
No matter what tires you got?
Yeah, yeah. I've seen cars. I mean, I've gone off track myself, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So the beautiful thing about, like, road racing is that, you know, it's when you talk about driver, you're also learning the limits of yourself and your car. But, like, most good tracks, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some tracks that don't have a good runoff. But the tracks where I've run off had runoff. So, like, it's designed where if you wipe out or you lose traction and you go into the grass, you're okay usually. I mean, if there's a tire wall, you're going to get fucked up. Sorry, I didn't mean to curse, but otherwise.
You ever seen them Formula One cars eat wall? They just be hard left, straight.
Yeah. Not like that, talking right? Millions of dollars over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I heard.
But not like that. You guys normally just stop in the dirt.
We stop in the dirt. I mean, you know, I just feel like it's a much safer environment to be able to learn the limit of your driving and the car.
I heard the track penalizes you if you mess up like the grass or the tires.
Grass, I mean, I haven't gotten penalized. If you hit a tire wall and you damage it, yeah, you're going to have
like to. You got to pay, right? They send you a bill.
Yeah.
That's really? Kind of crazy.
I'd
yeah.
be mad as hell if people walk on my grass. Yeah. Don't walk on my grass. I tell my kids, stop running on the grass. Come off the grass.
One time so I went to go spectate and they're like, yo, that guy going to get a bill because he went off course. I was like, oh, that's how that works here?
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
If you mess up the grass or you mess up their tires, like they charge you per tire that you displace.
Damn. Okay. That's
crazy. I don't know. Is that true?
So it's definitely true because my boy Paulie wiped down Lime Rock, and they said that there was no damage, so he wasn't getting a bill. I mean, he tapped it, but his car got messed up a little bit. So,
well, drag racing. I mean, they just come and fish your ass out. And
yeah,
and they don't even charge you.
That's take
a,
you to your
pit, I see that crazy, just, right? Like sometimes they be macking up. Yeah,
up, go your way. Yeah. But this is usually what sand in the net. The only track I didn't see sand in the net was Bradenton. Bradenton got like strawberry field. That shit's really it's either strawberry or cauliflower.
That but catches you up top.
It don't catch. There's nothing to catch you. You ended up in somebody's farmland. Oh. Yeah. And then Maple Grove is like somebody's house.
No.
Yeah.
Cat.
Nah, you cross the street though.
Cat.
You never noticed that?
Cat.
So drag racing.
Y'all gotta be careful what fast guy be saying.
No, I'm dead ass. Maple Grove, you cross the street, crazy. They stop traffic on both sides so that you could come down. You never noticed that?
At the end of the street.
The end of the track, the guy at the end of the track is standing there because that's a real road. That's a regular local road with a red light. The light's red for everybody as cars are making passes.
You're dead serious.
Swear to God.
Which track is this?
When you cross
Maple
the
Grove.
Street,
oh.
the as soon as you cross the street, the dirt in the net is there. But behind the dirt and the net is
somebody's
house. So
you're telling me every pass, there's somebody at the end stopping regular traffic.
And he's standing there to tell you to make the turn into the track. Because if you make the turn outside the gate, now you're in the regular road. So you might make the wrong turn and end up on your way back to the Bronx.
You're not lying.
Swear to God.
That's crazy.
You never noticed that?
No.
Dude, look at it again. Look at any video of Maple Grove. You're going to see the track.
That sounds
and
crazy.
Look at the end of the track. There's a house at the end.
That sounds crazy.
If you
crazy.
Can make it past the sand, you're in that living room. Right in somebody's fucking TV. Boom. Whole car right in that shit. But it's the road racing shit seems like.
I want to try it.
You definitely got to try
I'm going to try it too, but.
I got the CRX.
I know there's like rules and regulations on how you drive around people, how you pass people, how you.
I mean, to be honest with you, because, you know, like I would just focus on just the driver aspect. Don't go crazy worrying about like the car too much besides like tires and brakes and brake fluid. You know, like at power, don't worry about it. Go out there and think about yourself as a driver because you guys are drivers. You know, and just enjoy like trying to see what you're capable of first with your car. And then, obviously, in the beginning, because you're a new driver, there are rules and regulations for passing. They just want to make sure that you know what it's like. Because, you know, like, you could drive fast on the street. When you go on a track and you wipe out, it's kind of weird when you wipe out because you don't realize that you just exceeded the limit of the car.
It's just a different feeling. I get it now.
Yeah, it's such a different feeling.
So you're wiping out because you lost, like, you didn't know. You pushed yourself too far.
Too far, yeah. Right. Yourself and the car, maybe you know, took the apex a little too far, or maybe the tires are too hot. There's so many weird, like, aspects to road racing. But the good thing is once you do learn it, you get hungry. Like, it's the same thing as drag racing. You just want to learn to go faster.
We got the same thing. Track prep. Everything plays a role in how fast you go today. You might throw the full 1,600 horsepower at this car, and all it does is spin. Now you're stuck taking power out of a car, or the track is too hot, or it's too cold, right, or it's too sticky, or it's not sticky. Yo, it's just always like, what's next? What's next? It's just so inconsistent. You guys got the same inconsistency, just you're in the zone, and you know how to control it.
Exactly.
Or you know, what is it, like after, like, couple turns in, you realize it's too sticky, it's too hot, it's too cold.
You gotta make some adjustments, yeah.
So you know that? How long does it take you to figure that out?
So, like, usually, depending on the tires and obviously the weather, you have to feel out the tires. You have to wait till it gets warm. And then you see how even braking. So, like, sometimes you got to figure out after you're going down a long street, you're doing, let's say, a buck 30 and you're getting the brakes. Is there brake fade? Is there a vibration? Is there something going on? You know, usually, that's the thing. When you go really crazy with, like, big brake setups and you go with, like, you know, bigger turbos and you go with, you know, extreme suspension setups, that's when, like, you have a lot of different factors. That's why I recommend not going too crazy with your car and just going out there with a simple setup and just focusing on driving first.
Like a fucking Hyundai.
Yeah.
You know. In a Hyundai.
We're going to spin the conversation around.
Shits. Imagine.
Man, they rent the Elantra N.
If you went to Enterprise and took out an Elantra N and had it, you
Man,
wouldn't
that's like
race
saying
it.
Saying Enterprise rents Type R's. They don't rent Type R's,
they
bro.
They rent Beamers. No,
not M3.
That shit is not. How you compare a Hyundai to this man's Type R? You nuts?
He just said the Elantra N, bro.
It's a good, affordable car. He didn't say it was as good as his Type R. That's crazy.
Nah, Type R is better. I mean, it's debatable. It's not, you know, some people might.
So we should look into that, right?
We should.
Look into
the
Enterprise, go rent two of them, and road race the balls off these things.
And get that on video.
I like it. We make it an episode.
Yeah, make it an episode.
I'm with it.
Yo, both of you guys live in New York, Long Island.
Yonkers, Brooklyn.
What is the worst part about being a car enthusiast living in New York?
Getting
Ken.
Shit stolen. No, not anymore.
I'm going to let Ken go. I'm going to let Ken go.
The worst thing about being an enthusiast in New York is probably that you get spoiled. Like, I go to Cali a lot, and, you know, they're racing year-round. You know, over here, by the time, like, October, November comes around, you know, got to put the car away.
You do.
You know, so, and then now I haven't even raced yet this year. So after the show, that's going to be my first session.
So the weather is the worst part about being a car enthusiast here in New York.
For me, at least. I mean, the roads suck too.
All right, Fast Guy, what's the worst part about being a car enthusiast here in New York City?
Congestion. There's no space to have to enjoy a car. I genuinely, to this day, don't have the need for speed anymore because there's nowhere to speed. Like, there's not a... You guys got... You're in Jersey, right? You got the Garden State you could open up on. You got the Turnpike you could open up on. You got 78. You got nice road. We don't have that. Everything either has a shit ton of bumps and potholes or a lot of traffic or a lot of cars or a lot of police.
So that's why you got a full race car because you can't even enjoy a regular
The next street
fast
car I'm trying to actually get into is like a CTSV. And I just want that because I don't want it to speed around and fly. I don't want it to make a bunch of power.
So what do you want? What do you want it for, though?
I just want to rip that shit from every light to the next light.
But you just said you ain't got, you can't even do that out here.
Oh, no. From this light to that light, I can do that. If there's nobody
but in
front of me.
You said the road's messed up.
I'm hammering it.
You said the road's messed up.
Yes, you got to buy a tire. Got to get the Nankang.
I'm going to switch it up.
The Nankang CRS.
What's the best part about being a car enthusiast in New York?
Best part about being in New York? I just love the city. I mean, I take pride in being from here, but I don't know what the best thing about.
Nothing?
I don't know, man.
What you got, fast guy?
Shit, nothing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I built my fucking car in Jersey. The only good thing about my car is my car live in the hood. That shit got a good base.
Yo, we making it sound rough to be a car guy
here. It's not easy over
here. It ain't easy.
Yo, the only reason why I live here is because I know here. I don't want to move somewhere else and have to relearn my environment. I know how to move in my jungle. A to B, B to Z. You know what I'm saying?
That's why they got that saying. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, I can. But the only reason why I'm still here is because this is my zone. I've established.
Man, you so New York, bro.
I am very so New York. But for a car guy to live here sucks. Man. Sucks.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I'm from Jersey, so I can't even speak. But I would just be like, yo, I like the food out here.
I do love the food.
New York food ain't all that no more.
Man, I'm thinking about what we're going to eat after this.
And I'm a foodie, bro. And I could tell you New York food ain't it no more.
And
don't believe the food enthusiast that posts. I should create a whole food enthusiast page going against everything these people say. Because it's all lies.
It's like
you got paid to make this shit.
You should. You
got to
be like, I'm from New York, and this is what it really is.
Junk smells like cat food in here. I'm that guy, yeah.
And then when you go there, they're going to be looking out for you like, oh.
Yeah,
oh,
that's him. That's him.
I'm going to get beat up. Every store I go into, get out.
Yo, Ken, tell me why you're the racing realtor.
I'm the racing realtor because my friendships, my network that I was able to get from the car scene over the years has helped support my business as a realtor.
So you've been a realtor this whole time?
No, 6 years now. 6 years, I'm blessed. I was actually able to start my own team. So I have 3 agents under me now and an admin. And we're called the Racing Team at eXp Realty. So like all my clients, even the ones that don't know about cars, they still remember like psychologically, oh yeah, you're a racing realtor. And then my level of service obviously will help carry me with my clients. But cars, I use cars as a marketing tool. So basically I do what I love. You know, I want to be able to enjoy cars and help people buy and sell houses. And you know,
Sell me a fucking house that could hold like a six. I want a one bedroom house with a 12 car garage.
I mean, listen, it might be.
You ain't getting that in the city.
A little challenging, but listen, I know builders too. I work with builders.
You
got
to go up to like Woodstock or something for that, right?
I go up there all the time.
Do you really?
Go to Catskills, yeah. Yeah, I go.
I was going to say, you got to go up to Catskills, probably get something like that.
If you want something like that, I just closed in a deal in Livingston Manor. It was a 2-family house for $195,000.
Where?
Livingston Manor, so it's right off Route 17. So if you're at Woodbury, New York,
take 17 up towards Monticello.
Yeah. One of my good friends, we just closed on a 2-family.
What?
And it was probably the cheapest 2-family I've ever seen. I don't think you'll ever see that again.
Is it a nice house?
It's good enough. I mean,
it's a fixer-upper.
Yeah, no.
No?
No, it's turnkey.
That's crazy.
Turnkey. The ton has been there for long-term tenants, and they want to live there forever. So My client, the guy that owned it, was an older guy, older gentleman that wants to retire. He sold off all his assets. It's one of his last ones. And my client's fairly young. Add to his portfolio, so.
Damn, look at that, right? Yo, I strapped you in this race. You got to buy this house, dude.
This is how Ken supports his racing habits.
Exactly. It is. Yeah.
You know what I wanted to talk about? Central, right?
Yeah.
So Central was doing media coverage of the New York scene for 6 years, you said. What was your best experience owning Central and, you know, doing the media in New York?
My best experience was, so I started it with Edwin of Prime NYC, and he was my partner. But we started it back in 2004. So started as an idea to be able to, there was no real social media back then. So we were thinking about doing a website.
It was a website.
Yeah, it was a website.
Like a forum, right? Like a website.
Forum and website. And we were going to call it Underground. So our business license is Underground. But then Need for Speed came out. So we decided to change it into Central. Central is named after Central Avenue, which is in Yonkers, which is where I used to race. You know, like right. That was my roots.
Your backyard for racing.
Yeah. So, but we wanted it to be more than just about cars. We wanted it to be about subculture. So originally it was about breakdancing, and we used to go to like graffiti art installations, and
it was about the lifestyle.
Like lifestyle, just passion, like people that live the things that they love. But obviously cars was the main thing that brought us together. So cars is what really gave us the exposure. And then so the greatest thing about Central was probably the meets that we did, the people I met, you know, the friendships I made.
What year time frame was this?
So it was from 2010 until about 2016.
And back then, what are the media companies like?
Nice Ones.
Were around. I knew Nice One.
Yeah, so Julian Urban was Racer? Definitely around.
Huh? Urban Racer was around back then? Nah, not anymore?
No, it was already after that. Can I Beat was around. Julian Nice Ones, Fat Lace was around.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So this is how me and Ken met. Ken, I was an avid follower of the blog, and I seen this fire photo that you took of an NYPD car in front of these two Integras underneath those bridges in like Harlem, right?
Yep.
And I saw this picture. I was like, yo, that picture screams New York. Because you under the bridges, NYPD in front of the two Integras, like they about to race. And I hit up Ken. I was like, yo, can we collab? I want this picture on a shirt. Like, I just love this
picture. Oh, that's where you got that picture from.
That's where he took that picture. Yeah. So that's how the Eat Sleep Race Central collab happened and how we became friends with Ken more so.
Yeah, that was dope.
Yo, and now we already shook hands on it. We're going to do a 2024 version where... We got to get a new picture taken.
Down.
Take a road race car and a race car, put them together.
We're
going to do something with the NYPD because that shirt just screams like New York.
I'm down.
And
down. Let me know when you're ready. I know so many damn cops. They let me borrow the cop car.
Let's get the cop cars. Nah, we're talking crazy now. Nah, yeah. But, yo.
We'll do the planning.
I like it. Stay tuned. We're going to get a revamp or re-release of the... Central Eat Sleep Race collab. Ken, we appreciate your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man.
And if anybody wants to follow you on social media, what do you got? In case anyone
all right,
wants
so
to
you can follow me on Instagram at Ken_Central. It's SNTRL. You can also follow Central, SNTRL.
If they try to buy a house from you, what's up?
All right, so you can follow Kenny, the racing realtor, or my racing team, the racing team of real estate.
You got a like a powerlifting page too?
Yeah, actually I do. It's Kenny, K-E-N-N-Y, needs more.
So when nobody
knows
this.
So we actually got to mention this. Ken holds the record for...
So I'm in Masters 1, which is 40 to 49, and I hold the New York State deadlift record.
New York State deadlift record. That's what's up, man.
How much is that?
545.
Humble brag.
It doesn't sound... 545. Humble brag.
Nothing. Wait. 545.
I deadlift 545.
I'm trying to get 600 by this fall, so that's the goal.
Damn, that's a house.
Yeah, I guess.
Lift the house up.
You know, everyone I hang around is just people that are doing that for reps, bro.
And that's motivation.
Yeah.
So it's true. It's who you surround yourself around.
100%.
Yo, I used to work out in the hood. Everybody in that gym was out of jail. But when I used to work out by myself, They used to be like, yo, come over here, come get some. And as soon as I went on that bench and they gave me whatever they was lifting, yo, I didn't know I could lift that.
Exactly. I think that's just motivation. General advice for anyone in life, right? Like, if you're trying to do better, surround yourself with people doing better than you because it's motivation, yes. Right?
Agree.
And anything that you do, if you're trying to race, you're trying to lift, you're trying to just be better in life, yes. Surround yourself with people doing better than you.
100%, bro.
Push you even harder.
Yeah.
What do we on do about millionaires? Note, surround ourselves with one millionaire. Do we come off as 1, 2, 3 million?
Hey, I guess it depends how you want to spin it, right? If you enjoyed this episode, like, comment, subscribe. Stay tuned for the next podcast.